Only believe all things are possible. Only believe. Amen. Amen. I'm not going to sing anymore this morning. I'm just glad to be here this morning. Amen. Thank Brother John for the opportunity to be here. Glad I got to bring my wife with me. Last night was on the airplane and I was trying to doze off because we had worked third shift and then went straight to the airport and climbed on the plane and I was dozing off. And all of a sudden my hand got to hurting and she had nudged me and said, "Johnny, wake up." I said, "What's wrong?" She said, "I don't like heights." I said, "Well, neither do I." But she wouldn't let me sleep, but it was a great opportunity for her, and I'm glad the Lord blessed me with her. I think the last time I was here, I was still single. Maybe you can ask her about how all that went, but I'll give you the short version. She came to church, met her, said, "How you doing? Let's get married." Went on. She'll give you the details later. The Lord actually told my dad, said "I'm going to send Jonathan, his wife, said I'll send her to the church. Be very swift, very fast." And needless to say, it was very swift and very fast. We was dated for, I think she said, tells me 2 months. To me, it's longer. But she says we dated for 2 months and we got married. We've been married for about 5 months. She's a true blessing to me.
Amen.
And I thank God every day for her. You know, there's been many times that people don't know of how I'd sit in the bedroom alone and sit on the edge of the bed and ask God, say, "Why am I so alone?" And he wouldn't answer me. All he would really just say is just time. Give it time. But I just thank God for her. And I'm glad that, Brother John gives the opportunity to be here and she's with me. If you've got your Bibles this evening, if you turn over to John chapter 4. Very familiar set of scriptures, but the Lord laid this on my heart. And John chapter 4, starting with verse 7. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, "Give me to drink." For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, "How is it thou, being a Jew, ask drink of me, which a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." Jesus said unto her, "If thou knewest the gift of God, who it is that saith to thee, 'Give me to drink,' thou would have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." Amen. The woman said unto him, "Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with. The well is deep. From whence then shall that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which give us the well, and drank thereof himself and the children and his cattle?" Jesus said unto her, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst.
Amen.
But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up everlasting life."
Amen.
Our gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. Lord, we ask that, Father, you would just move in a mighty way this morning. Father, step me out of the way. Let your children hear your voice this morning. Father, we're a needy people. Father, we come asking, Lord, that you would speak directly to our hearts, Lord. Lord, if there be one here that doesn't know you, let them come to know you. Lord, those that might have walked away, let them turn around and come back to Calvary. Father, those that are asking for a closer walk, Lord, I ask that, Lord, you'd give them that closer walk this morning. Lord, I ask that, Lord, you would just move in a mighty way. Silence my voice, Lord. For, Lord, I am nothing, Lord, but you are everything. Father, I ask that, Lord, you would just minister to our hearts, God. Give us of what we need of. Lord, our cups are empty, Lord. Fill them back up, Lord. Lord, we come and we ask you one more time, Lord. Just move in a mighty way. We'll love and we'll praise you for it. Amen. You may be seated this morning. I'd like to take a little thought this morning. Underprivileged Christians. You know, so many times when we go through our life and when we look at all of our situations, and so many times we ask God, why this is happening, why that's happening, why we don't understand so many things. We don't understand so many of our problems that we go through. But you know, here in the scriptures, it talks about a woman there at the well. You notice the Bible doesn't mention her name. The Bible doesn't give us a record of what they called her. It just calls her the woman from the well or the Samaritan woman. You know, she... The Bible goes on to, if you continue reading that chapter there, it goes on to the Bible. The Bible says that she looks at him and says, I perceive thou be a prophet. We know that the Messiah is coming. Are you he? The Bible talks about how the woman here, she knew of who Jesus was. She knew of the stories of a man that used to heal the sick, open blinded eyes, give the deaf back their hearing, and all these things. She heard all the stories. She knew of this Messiah that walked, but she did not recognize who sat on the wall that asked her for a drink. As he said to her, said, woman, give me the drink. He wasn't talking about a natural drink, but he was looking for something on the inside that said, I understand you're the Messiah. I've got to have that Holy Ghost feeling. I've got to have something that quenches my soul. She sat there and she began to look at him and said, oh, you don't have nothing to draw with. How many times have we looked at God when God's just asked us for a little time in prayer? Lord, I don't have time to pray. I don't have time to seek God. I don't have time to understand the word of the Lord. I just don't have time for that. I've got too many other things going on. I've got my family to deal with. I've got my job to deal with. I've got all these other problems to deal with. I don't have time for God. But you know, there comes a time that we're going to have a situation that we really need God to move in. We're going to have a situation that we don't quite understand the problem. And when we get down to pray and ask God to help us, there's going to come a time that he says, oh, I'm sorry. You didn't have time for me. I don't have time for you. Oh, there's so many times that Christians, when they come down to the altar and they begin to ask God for a little blessing, they don't ask for the full potential. They stop with just a little slice of the bread. Let me tell you, I don't want just a slice. I want the whole loaf because I'm hungry this morning. I'm in need and I don't want to live underprivileged, but I want the whole entire thing. I want the whole baptism. I don't want just a little slice of it and say, Lord, that's not enough, but I got to have more. I'm tired of seeing Christians go along this life, come to church, and they walk out the same way because they're living underprivileged. Oh, because God's sitting at that well and he's telling you and I, give me the drink. Oh, we're like that Samaritan woman that says, oh, but you don't have nothing to draw with. Let me tell you, that cup of God, when it draws, it's never ending. There is no space to God. There is no length to God. He is from the west to the east. There is no ceasing with God. Amen. Oh, but we want to limit God to what he can do. We want to limit God to only God. Only he can heal the pastor. Or only he can touch the song leader. God didn't say that. He said, my children, I have the healing power. His word says, by his stripes, we are healed. Not just the pastor, not the song leader or the piano player, but everybody. We are healed by his stripes and his stripes alone. But oh, we stand on the outside of that and we wonder, why can't we get our healing? Oh, Brother John, why isn't God moving when we cry out to him? Why isn't God moving on our behalf? Because we're too busy living underprivileged. Why are Bibles sitting on the shelf somewhere collecting all that dust? God is trying to move in somebody else because we won't let him. Oh, I'll tell you a story. Here a few months ago, back right after me and Lori got married, we was at the skating rink and we was going around the skating rink and I was trying to show her how to skate. And I decided, Brother John, I was going to take off on my own. You see, that's what we do with God. We walk with God long enough till we think we can handle it on our own. And I took off from her. I said, I'm going to take a couple laps. So I started taking off. Well, I got around to a certain area and I went to go around these people. Well, as I was going around them, I stood straight up, Brother John.
I had it all under control. You see, when we get a hold of the bull, it ain't the bull. We ain't got a hold of that bull. The bull's got a hold of us, and he's ringing us around like a whirlwind because we think God ain't in control no more. I'm in control. I handle my own life. But oh, you see, it's not us that controls our own life. It's God that's in control. He'll take his hands off. When we get so far out there, we think that we got everything under control. He'll back away. Say, all right, you want to be in control? You be in control. I won't help you. Oh, you see, when a little baby's born, that little baby doesn't know how to walk to start off with. That little baby's got to have help. Mommy and daddy holding his hands, saying, oh, come on, honey, let's walk a little bit more. You see, we ought to be like babies this morning, saying, God, I'm underprivileged. I need more. I need you. Let me hold on the hand a little bit more. But oh, as I was going around that skating rink, these three people were in front of me, so I went to go around them, and I stood straight up. And when I did, I lost my balance. If you know skating, when you hit that wooden floor, it's not too fun. But I started going down, so I threw my palm straight out behind dummy because I didn't want to hit my bad hip. Because I knew if I did that, I'd be in a whole lot of damage, brother. So I threw out my hand, and when I did, I fell back, and my hand started hurting. I thought, what's going on here? So now I'm laying on the floor. I thought, man, my hand's going numb. I better look at it. I lifted up, my wrist is pointing towards me. My outer bone's pointing towards the skin. And I'm sitting there thinking, what on God's earth just happened? You see, we get away from God, and we start living underprivileged. We don't let the Holy Ghost have its way in our lives anymore. We don't sit at the dinner table and talk to our children about the things of God. We don't talk to God anymore. We get away from God. And we wonder why God's slowly breaking the lamb's leg to get their attention. Oh, you know, the Bible says that when a shepherd goes out to get that lamb, that weed away from the fold there, he has to break that little lamb's leg. So that lamb only trusts the shepherd. That little lamb the rest of them, they're not living underprivileged. They know where the healing's at. They know where salvation's at. They know where the things of God lie. They know exactly which avenue to take. Because the Bible says that my sheep knoweth my voice, and another they will not follow. You see, we should only know the voice of God. But we're so busy underliving our privileges as sons and daughters of God. We don't listen for that voice anymore. Now we want the voice of the prophet of the age, or we want the pastor's voice. We don't want God's voice. Let me tell you something. There's been many times that I've cried and I've asked God for just a little saying, just a little word that I could hear his voice. After I broke my arm, I was at home, and I was beginning to get real discouraged, brother. I sat there on the couch. My wife had to go to work without me. And I was sitting there and I said, Lord, I said, this ain't even fair. I said, I don't want to be at home. I want to be on the workforce. I want to be out there preaching. I want to be out there, not my house. Oh, I got angry with God. Oh, I began to get a little bit, I guess people would say, despiteful towards God. I said, Lord, I don't understand. Why did this have to happen? Why am I sitting here in my house and with a cast around my arm? I said, I want to be out there. Every time my wife would get up and go to work, I got more and more discouraged. Finally, one day I said, Lord, I said, this is it. I said, I'm done. I'm not serving you no more. You want to bind me to my house? That's fine. I'll stay here. Oh, and the voice of the Lord come to me. He said, oh, John, he said, if you only knew what I'm trying to teach you. He said, oh, don't you still have one good hand? I said, yes, Lord. He said, then why can't you use it? I said, Lord, if I go to work, they won't let me work. He said, that's not what I'm talking about. He says, time to stop living under privilege and picking up my word and reading it. Let me show you exactly where you stand with me. Let you pick up a message book and flip through it and get that healing and that blessing you've been asking for. It's time to stop sitting on the back pew, but jump up and say, Lord, here am I. Let me have my blessing. Let the gates of heaven open up and let me stop being underprivileged.
Oh, we go to church and we ask God for a healing. We go to church and we ask God for salvation. But we won't let God operate. We get down there and we get to begin to ask God for this thing and that thing. Oh, till finally we get to a point we stop asking God. Oh, let me tell you, maybe you just ain't took your faith high enough. You're still living like an underprivileged person. You're still living out there wondering, woe is me. We get too busy in that mud pit. We start like, we're like the pigs. We like that mud pit because that's where we belong. Oh, my Bible tells me, I may have been born in sin and shaped in iniquity, but that wasn't God's plan for my life. I had a higher calling. It's not just as a minister, but I had a calling to be a son and daughter of God. And I won't live under privilege to that. Amen. Oh, God comes down and he begins to speak to our hearts and we block him out. Then the devil comes along and says, oh, you know, God doesn't really love you. God don't want nothing to do with you. Oh, Brother John, we listen to that voice a little too long. We listen to that voice so long, we begin to close our Bible, and we don't open it like we used to. We don't read like we used to. We don't seek after God like we used to. Now we'd rather hear what the devil says, and we'd rather hop from church to church until we find that blessing. Oh, but God, when he comes down, he says, I got a blessing for you. I've got something to give you. Oh, but you see, some of us, we get too close to God and we start feeling all alone. Oh, let me tell you, when I felt alone there in that house, I was sitting there. I said, Lord, why do I feel so alone? Till one Wednesday, Brother John, I went to church. I think my arm was almost healed at this point. I was feeling really discouraged. Real beat down. All of a sudden, my father was, I think I was scheduled to preach that night. My father was up on the platform. He was turning everything on. I walked in the back door and he looked at me and just motioned me up there. So I went up there. My wife's a witness. I was discouraged. I didn't say nothing to her, but she could feel it. You see, I started living under my privileges. I started feeling that I didn't matter to God, that God wanted nothing to do with me, that I was alone, a downright dirty sinner, unsaved, bound for hell. Oh, and he motioned me up there. So I went walking up to him, and I said, yeah. And he looked at me and said, everything all right? I said, yeah, everything's fine. You see, that's what we tell God. God wants to hear our problems. God wants to hear what's so heavy on our hearts. God's looking for somebody that's willing to say, God, I need help this morning. God, I need salvation this morning. Amen. Oh, God's looking for somebody that's willing to say, Lord, it's not by me, but it's by you. It's not by my might. I ain't got no power. But the Father first gave me when he spoke to me and said, if I live in you, you've got the power of the earth. I give it all to you. Speak the word and it must happen. Oh, but we don't speak that word anymore, Brother John. I like using Brother John because he's the only name I remember here. I remember lots of faces. But oh, when God's looking for somebody, he's asking, does anybody trust in me anymore? Does nobody want to live above their privileges anymore? Oh, some of us have got so used to living down there in the mully grubs, the depressed state, woe is me. We just can't seem to rise above it. But oh, As I went up there, my dad says, "Everything all right?" I said, "Well, yeah, everything's fine." He began to look at me. All of a sudden, Brother John, out of nowhere, all of a sudden, God come down. And he took over. And he said, began to look at me. And he said, "Oh, my son. Oh, I knew this wasn't Daddy Dearest. I knew this wasn't Adam Knight at this point, because I recognized that voice that said, 'My dear son.'" He said, "Oh, why be discouraged?" He said, "You've got this problem on your heart. You're feeling all alone and discouraged." I said, "I haven't left you." I said, "I've still been there through it all." He said, "My word says, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee." Oh, see, then I began to realize it wasn't God, but it was me that was living underprivileged. I didn't call upon him like I should have. I didn't ask for his help like I should have. Oh, you see, when a little child falls and they scrape their knee or something, what's the first person they cry out to? "Oh, Mommy Dearest." In some cases, it's, "Daddy, where are you? Oh, somebody over here is being a bully to me." They cry out for help. They're asking for something. God's wanting us to cry out, saying, "Abba, Father, I need help." But oh, we're so busy living underneath our privileges. Oh, well, you see, if I need help, I'll just call my big brother David. He'll be on the scene. I ain't got to worry about it. I hope this don't get back to him. But I wouldn't call David to save my life. That boy wouldn't show up if I offered him $1 million. Well, he might show up about 3 hours late. But oh, let me tell you, when I call God, you ain't got to offer God any type of money. It's pretty sad that when somebody needs prayer, they got to offer the pastor some kind of finances just to pray for them. Or they got to offer somebody $100 or something just to say a little prayer. When does God's word ever charge? My scripture says it's free, and free indeed. Oh, but we stop living above our privileges. It's time that we get back and we start saying, "God, I'm sorry that I was wrong. I'm sorry of my shortcomings. I'm sorry that I fail." Yeah. Oh, some of us, we're too, oh, I hope I don't get stoned for this. Some of us guys are too strong-headed to ask for help. My wife would tell you, she's looking at me strange. She'll tell you, "I'm the first one. I don't ask for help. I don't look around to see who can help me." Oh, when it comes to something heavy, I get ready to pick it up, brother. Now she's like, "Don't you do that. You're going to hurt that arm again." I looked at her. I said, "Honey, I said, don't worry about it. God's able to heal me. And God can do it once. He'll do it again." Oh, you see, some of us look at our physical man and say, "Oh, I don't need God's help. I don't need help of another man." Oh, let me tell you, if it wasn't for God's help, I wouldn't be standing up here right now. Amen. If it wasn't for God, I wouldn't have climbed on that airplane. If it wasn't for God, I would never took that time going to youth camp when he said, "Jonathan, I've called you to the ministry." If it wasn't for God helping me to realize I've been living below my privileges, I'm tired of living in an old sick body. I need a fresh new manna from heaven to give me strength to rise up and push forward. Oh, the Bible says, I preached a message Wednesday night, Brother John, called "Who Do You Trust?" You see, I took my scripture over there where it says when Jesus went to with him and his disciples, said his disciples was only a stone cast from him, and he prayed earnestly. He prayed until his sweat was like drops of blood. He cried and said, "Oh, if this cup have passed from me." But he says, "Oh, but let thy will be done, Father,
Not my will, but thy will. You see, that's the problem in the churches. That's why we're living on privilege. It's because we're letting our will get in the way instead of God's will. Oh, God's will is that we would have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that we would have strength to rise up and fight Goliath. That's God's will.
Oh, but man's will is like Saul's will. Sitting back here in a tent somewhere, hiding, saying, oh, who's going to fight this Goliath? Not me. I can't do it. Oh, this Philistine out there, he's defiling the armies of God. Then get up and do something, Saul.
Amen.
But oh, let me tell you, God has somebody on the backside of the desert that wasn't living under privileges. Every time he felt alone, brother, he got out that harp and he began to play them gospel songs. Oh, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, God is with me. Oh, when that bear come out of the woods, God is with me. When that lion approaches, God is with me. Oh, he knew where he stood with God. He knew his privileges. He knew if I could just touch the hem of his garment, oh, everything would be took care of. Oh, as that lion come out there, David, I can see him there playing his harp. Oh, I'd love to hear David play that harp. Oh, sure, it ain't this new modern stuff that we call contemporary. Oh, it ain't this good old upbeat stuff. Oh, let me tell you. Sometimes when I'm at home, my wife would tell you, I bought this stereo system, and I've got 12 different speakers, all hooked up, different brands, Brother John. Half of them come from my dad. Half of them come from dad, and I got them all hooked up. And there's times when I'm sitting at home, and I start feeling alone. I don't put something on that's upbeat. I put on a slow song. And sometimes my wife looks at me like, why don't you play something upbeat? You see, that's the way the world looks at us. Why don't you play something that's got some meaning to it? Something that's going to get the heart racing. Let me tell you, if you play that slow, God is among the songs, those godly songs. He'll sweep through that household and your heart begin to beat faster and faster because you begin to realize, I've got more to live for. I'm living under privilege. Oh, we wonder why there's so many suicides in these past few years. Oh, it seems like the suicide rate's climbing higher and higher. I don't even know what it is now. But every time I turn around, it seems like one of my friends are telling me somebody they knew just committed suicide. And I'm like, Lord, what is going on? Because Christians are living underprivileged. So many Christians are falling away from the house of God because we're too busy living underprivileged. Stop believing in God. And we started believing to what the devil tells us. Oh, I can go out here. I can party the way I want to. And I can still make it to heaven. No, sir. There's only one way to make it to heaven. And that's through Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Oh, let me read you something here. Oh, Brother John, I'm feeling good this morning. Me and my wife, we slept for a couple hours last night, and then we didn't go back to bed till 2 o'clock this morning, 1 o'clock, somewhere in there. But oh, I'm feeling pretty good, Brother John. Oh, surely he hath borne over our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. Oh, who's living underprivileged? Oh, Jesus could have been up here with his Father. He could have said, Lord, just take me on home. I'm tired of living down here. I'm tired of fighting these battles. Oh, he went on to go to the whipping post. He went on to be beaten. He went on to them blindfolding him, them smacking him, saying, now tell us who smacked you. Oh, he could have told them very easily. But oh, he went below his privileges and said, my children are in need. I want them to live above privileges. Oh, my mother and father, there hasn't been many times that I've heard this story.
about we'd be out traveling years ago, just little tiny kids. They would go hungry so us kids could eat. Oh, you see, sometimes God goes hungry just so we can eat. You see, God, He's looking for somebody, a hungry soul, so He can feed them, not us. Some of us get so highly on ourselves, we don't want that old-fashioned stuff. We don't want that old-fashioned revival anymore. We're beyond that, Brother John. We don't need those revivals anymore. Let me tell you, I need an old-fashioned Holy Ghost Pentecostal revival on the inside. Tell me, fire up. It's time to go home.
But oh, He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our integrity or our iniquities. The enchantment of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes, we're all still sick. Oh, somebody better check your Bible. Pretty sure that's what my Bible just said. Oh, let me double check that. By His stripes, we are healed. And yet we're still living down there in the molly grubs saying, woe is me. It's time for Christians rise to their feet and say, God, give me that word. Let me march forth. Amen. Though the cross might be heavy, let me carry it. Amen. Oh, the Bible says that when Jesus was praying, He said, Father, let this cup pass from me. You know, I can almost see Jesus down there. As Him down there on His knees saying, Father, please let this cup pass. Please. He already knew what was coming. You see, that's the problem with us. We think we know what's coming. But God already knew what was coming to His Son. He already seen what was getting ready to transpass. But oh, some of us think, well, I said my 5-minute prayer, brother, is we're good now. God's going to send us our blessing. Oh, but let me tell you something. Sometimes God wants a longer 5-minute prayer. I remember one time I was down praying and I was asking God for a wife and things. And I really began to pray. And I said, God, I don't care what time it is. I don't care who's around. I don't care who knocks on my door. I don't care who rings on my phone. I just want to spend time with You. Oh, I was down there and I was praying. And lo and behold, the devil kept coming to me and said, you better check time. You better check time. I kept saying, no, devil. All of a sudden, my phone began to light up. Somebody was texting me. I don't care. Swipe it away. All of a sudden, my phone began to ring. Hit the ignore button. All of a sudden, they come and knock at the door. John, you awake? Yeah, I'm awake. What are you doing? I'm praying. Leave me alone. I'm asking for something from God, but we're not dedicated to God anymore. We've got lazy in this Laodicean age. We sit back and say, God, You handle it all. But God's looking for somebody that says, I'm tired of living underprivileged. I'm tired of dealing with the same old battle. I'm tired of looking across that field and seeing Goliath out there, knowing that I can defeat him. Oh, why does it seem like some of our problems are too big for God? Some of us look at our problems and look at those and say, well, I don't know that I can handle this situation. Oh, I hope she forgives me for this. But you know, when I first met my wife, we went to McDonald's and I just walked in the door. She reached in her purse, put out a piece of paper and said, here's my number if you want to call me or text me. You see, if you know me, I'm a shy guy. I don't like meeting new people. I don't talk to people. I don't want nothing to do with people. I'm not meaning that in a bad way. I'm talking about I just don't start conversations. You got to start up with me. I don't start the first conversation. But oh, she pulled out that paper and I looked at her. I said, Lord, something's wrong with her. I said, are You sure she's my wife? Are You sure she's the one for me? See, that's the way we look at God's blessings. As He sends us a good spiritual blessing. A blessing that we can't contain. and we start living underprivileged. Lord, are you sure that's for me? I don't know about this one, Lord. I think I better give that to somebody else. And God's trying to answer every single question you asked. Every problem you have, He gave you the answer. Oh, I remember years ago, I don't know if Brother John remembers it, but years ago I was 12, 13, somewhere in there. Me and my two brothers and my sister, we went to McDonald's late at night. I think it was Christmas Eve. And we went to McDonald's and they had just snowed the day before. And we thought all the ice and everything was gone. So we get our food and we take it back home. And on our way home, we hit black ice. And the car went over to the left. Big old truck came towards us, ripped through the side of the car, missed my brother. Brother John, I keep thinking I'm on a lapel. I'm trying to move my arm. I missed my brother, but caught me on the side of my head. I didn't feel it. I didn't know a thing. I was half asleep, in and out. I just happened to wake up long enough to see bright lights. Thought maybe there for a second I done died and went to heaven. Everybody says follow the bright light when you die. I ain't died yet, so I can't tell you. But I looked at everybody and said, what just happened? They said, it was in a car wreck. I said, really? I said, yeah. So I reached up and I touched the side of my head. I had blood pouring down my hand. I said, guys, I'm bleeding. Sent a panic into the car. You see, somebody says they got the Holy Ghost. He sends a panic in the churches nowadays. Are you sure you got the Holy Ghost? And the Holy Ghost is such a rare thing anymore. Nobody seems to want it. Because we're living underprivileged. But oh, they finally got out of the car. They called Dad. They called the ambulance. Ambulance got there first, and the sheriff guy walks up, and then my dad pulls up, and he comes running over. He said, John, are you okay? Mom's in a full-blown panic. I remember like it was just yesterday, brother. And I was sitting there, and I said, well, yeah, I'm fine. I said, I'm just cold. And the sheriff looked at my dad, and dad asked him, said, how bad is it? He said, you better talk to the paramedic. Paramedic comes walking over. And I remember hearing that paramedic look at my dad and said, Mr. Knight, I'm sorry, but he's going to have plastic surgery immediately. So we're going to rush him to the hospital, and he's going to go straight into emergency surgery for plastic surgery. Said, it's that bad. Had big old thicks of rags on my head, kept throwing them down, grabbing more. And my dad reached that window. He said, John, he said, do you believe Jesus can heal you? I said, yes, sir. He said, do you believe that daddy's a man of God? I said, yes, sir. He said, do you believe that God can answer daddy's prayers? I was just a little guy. I didn't know any better. I had childlike faith. I was a baby. I was living above my privileges. But oh, he reached through that window. He began to pray. And as he prayed, everybody bowed their head. First time I ever saw that. Everybody bowed their head. Outside of a church. And oh, he began to pray. And so they got me and my mom in the ambulance, took me to the hospital. I had on a pair of bibs. I loved those bibs. I thought I was LL Cool J in a pair of bibs. Yeah, I know, figured you newer ones knew that one. So oh, I thought I was everything. I looked down, my bibs had blood all over them. My stomach right here was all puffed out like I'd been had a bunch of gulls or something in there. We get back to the room. He undoes my bibs to let down to clean off my face and stuff. And it was full of glass. Nothing but glass. As soon as that glass hit the floor, he looks at me. Looks back down. I said, I don't know. I said, they tell me I was in a car wreck. And he cleaned up my face. And he brought in some paperwork. Mom signed it. And he said, well, y'all's dismissed. Said, you go home. Me and my mom looked at each other. I looked at Mom. I said, I'm ready to get out of here. So let's go. I'm getting somewhere. Bear with me. We start walking out of that hospital room. Here comes my dad in a full bloom run. You see, when God's child's in need, he comes to a full bloom run. He runs to his child because he heard the child's voice that said, I'm in need. But oh, dad come running up to me and said, where you going? I said, well, I'm going home. I don't know where you're going. I said, I'm going back to my home, back to my bed. He said, you can't leave. That nurse looked at him and said, well, why not?
He said, what about that hole in the side of his head?
That nurse looked at my dad, looked at me, looked back at my dad, said, what are you, crazy?
What hole? He said, there was a hole there at the accident. They told me my baby was going to need plastic surgery. But let me tell you, when God came down, I was above my privileges. And he healed that hole and he let the grow hair back. That nurse looked at me and said, there is no hole. There's no evidence of a hole.
Oh, my dad said, well, how do you explain all the blood? He looked at my dad and he said, Mr. Knight, said, I don't know.
There is no explanation. Let me tell you, there he is. There was God. When I was in need, he come down. Even though I was just a little kid, he still honored it. How much more would he honor yours and I as an adult?
Oh, the Bible says, least ye we come as a child. Oh, if you would tell a child that sky up there used to be red, they'd probably believe you,
because they don't know no difference. They've only lived a few years. But you take somebody that's been worshiping God for 40 years, they still walk away God from God because they're living underprivileged.
Oh, it's time we start living above our privileges. Oh, maybe this ain't what the doctor ordered, but that's okay. Let me show you where we get our strength. Is that all right? Oh, y'all can blame Brother John. He told me to take my time. I think he's been gone a little too long. But all the Bible says over in Romans chapter 5, verse 6, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Oh, what does that tell you? I forgot about that, Brother John. Oh, let me see the scripture I'm looking for here. But God commandeth his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, underprivileged, not destined to be sons and daughters of God, yet Christ died for us. Amen. That's where our strength lies. Is in Christ.
Amen.
But oh, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life.
Amen.
Oh, tell me we ain't living underprivileged. Tell me we ain't living in a God-abandoned country. I'm liking this brother up here. Oh, he knows what I'm talking about. Oh, they're trying to take In God We Trust off our bills. Where is the Christians arise and say, that belongs to us? Oh, it ain't going to be long. We're going to need to frame a dollar bill just to keep God In God We Trust. Oh, I better get back to my text. Oh, but we're so busy living in an underprivileged country. We think that third world countries are underprivileged. Let me tell you something. We think we have it all. But you go over there where they just met God for the first time. We're the underprivileged. We've been serving God for years. But yet they just met God. And they're giving God their all. Oh. Oh, Brother John, while you was over there in Germany, do you mean any of those first-time Christians that just raised up on the inside, that said, I can't explain it, but I can tell you, there's a God. There's Jehovah, my provider.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Ooh, some of us don't know about Jehovah anymore. Oh, the preachers quit preaching about him. The preachers only preach those rosy messages.
they don't preach those hell, fire, and brimstone messages and get people back to Calvary because we're living under privileges. Even the pastors don't preach the word of God anymore. All they want is that money. Money, 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 money.
My wife would tell you, when we first met years ago, I used to be able to save. Till I won't tell you which ones, but family members kept borrowing it and would never pay it back. So I quit saving so they couldn't borrow money. But you see, when I've met my wife, she said, I'm going to put you on a budget. I said, oh, please don't do that. Don't put me on a budget. I'm a spending money man. I spend it faster than it comes in because I was living above my privileges. God blessed me with a wonderful job. I had the money flowing in, not realizing he was preparing me for marriage. But I had all this money flowing in. Brother John, it was going out the door faster than it could come in. Till finally I realized, after I met my wife, there's more to life than just me. Now I'm dealing with two. Both of us work. The money's coming in. I mean, talking about thousands of dollars or nothing like that. But God has gave us a job. We can mow tank. We can keep our family running. We can keep the bills paid. Brother John, I'll tell you, when I broke my arm, we had what, almost $3,000 worth of bills? One hospital bill was over $1,000. I looked at my wife, tears filled up in my eyes. I said, honey, how are we going to do this? We had another bill that was $900 and some. I said, honey, I don't know what to do. I said, I've been out of work for 2 months. I said, there is no way we can pay these bills. My poor little wife looked at me. She said, honey, just trust in God. He'll provide. You see, when we start living underprivileged, there's somebody there that's willing to take our place and show us where our privilege really lies. God gave us a blank checkbook and said, fill it out for what you want. Needless to say, Brother John, right before we come up here, we paid the last bill. Because God provided the means to pay the bills from what he was trying to teach me. You can't tell me my God ain't good. You can't tell me that we're too busy living our underprivileged to realize these sick mortal bodies are already healed. Amen. The battle's up here. We just think this body ain't healed.
Amen. Preach it, brother.
Amen. I don't know if I told y'all, but I was born without a hip socket. You can't tell it because I don't show it. But I was born without a hip socket. And there's days my wife would tell you, I'll look at her in bed and said, honey, I can't move. I said, I need you to help me get out of bed. There's been many times that I'd get up off the couch and start limping from where it hurts so bad. But let me tell you, I'm standing on his word when he said, your body is healed. It's healed. It's time to stop living in a devil's hell and start living in glory with God. Oh, Brother John, we first got to die and go to heaven first. No, sir. Heaven can come down here to us.
Amen.
He can live on the inside. Oh, but some of us, we just like living underprivileged. Let me read you something the prophet of God said. What if I bought a little boy a bicycle and he threw it back in my face and said, I don't want that thing. I don't appreciate it. What if I bought your little girl a doll? She picked it up and threw it back at you. Ungrateful, see? That's the way we are. When we try to live under the privileges that God gave us. Christ died that we might have these privileges. Oh, how he must feel today when we've adopted some other program and threw the Holy Spirit back in his face saying, we don't need that fanatic thing anymore. Oh, let me tell you, when God come down and he spoke to me and said, I've gave you the Holy Ghost, I wanted to run the building till the walls fell down. I was so excited. Oh, what happened to those Christians? Now we call them good bench warmers. They come to church just to sit on the bench and hear a good message and go home.
just so they can say, I was in the house of God today. Let me tell you, just coming to the house of God ain't going to save you. He ain't going to give you the baptism of the Holy Ghost just by coming to church. Amen. You got to get serious with God. I need the Holy Ghost.
But oh, Brother John, how many times have we seen a Christian come to church and ask the pastor or ask the saints to pray for him, and then they come and they say, oh yeah, I'm so much better. But you come Monday morning, they're back in that same lifestyle. Turned their back on God again because they don't want to worship God. Oh, so many Christians are living under their privileges. Oh, it's time that we get back to our privileges. You think God enjoys us living underprivileged? No, sir. He's looking for somebody that's wanting to walk up here with him. Oh, we're not even with God. Nowhere near can we be even with God. But he wants us to walk where Adam and Eve used to walk. He wants us to walk lip and ear, amen, hand in hand, amen, and just keep walking and just talking. Amen. Oh, what happened to those old-fashioned ministers? Oh, Brother John, they done passed on and went on. Oh, what about those? What about the when they passed it down to their children? Or they passed it on to some other minister in the church? We've gotten lazy. Amen. You know, when I'm at home, I'll tell myself, she can admit to this, when I'm at home and I'm hungry, I'll look at her, I look at her and say, honey, I'm hungry. She says, okay. She'll sit there, do whatever. I said, honey, I'm hungry. She says, okay. I got two legs, I can go up in there and fix it. But you see, I don't want to do that. Sometimes I just feel lazy, Brother John. Sometimes I just don't want to get off my couch. So I look, I'm like, honey, would you go fix me something to eat? She looks at me and she says, sure, what do you want? I don't know, whatever you fix. And she'll just sit there until I tell her what to fix me. You see, that's what we do with God. God says, I want to talk to you. Okay, Lord. John, I want to talk to you. Okay, Lord, I'll get right to you. We get lazy and we stop living above our privileges. Oh, we need a financial, we need a financial need. God said, ask for it. The scripture plainly says, ask and you shall receive. Knock and that door shall be open. But oh, we're living so far under our privileges. We've gotten down here. Oh, let me tell you a story. Oh, of a woman that had the issue of blood. Oh, she cried and cried for 12 long years. She asked God, please, touch this. She kept asking and asking and asking. God would never move. Finally, brother, she got out that old book. She looked at her finances. Well, I ain't got no more money. I done bought the last little bit of oil I could. I done did everything I could to get this blessing. But then I could see these guys walking past her window and said, oh, did you hear that this Jesus from Nazareth, he's in town? I can see her stopping, get a little bit closer to that window. You see, some of us need to get a bit closer to the church doors and start listening. Did you say Jesus of Nazareth is here? Yeah, he's in town. Did you not hear? He's still doing those signs, wonders, and miracles out there. I can see her getting a little bit closer. Almost opened those windows and said, what'd you just say? You say Jesus is out there? Yeah, you ought to go see him. All I can see is she didn't grab a coat. She didn't grab nothing. She headed straight for that door as hard as she could till she got out there. She said, oh, brother and sisters, I'm tired of living underprivileged. She took that first step out there. She said, I'm tired of this body aching. I'm tired of slowly making it day by day. Till finally she seen this crowd. And she said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment. If I could just press through that crowd a little bit more. Oh, some of us don't press hard enough. Oh, some of us get to that crowd. Well, Lord, that crowd's too much for me. Oh, I'll tell you, I'll be the first one to tell you, I hate crowds. Oh, I cannot stand it. I was there at the airport at Charlotte, and I told my wife, I said, honey, I said, once I get through the security, I said, if you don't keep up, I'm gone. She said, what do you mean? I said, I can't take this crowd any longer. Well, the stuff goes through the machine, and Brother John, somehow her ID fell out of the bucket that went through the x-ray machine. It was laying on the ground underneath the x-ray machine. I stopped. I said, honey, what are you looking for? She said, my license. I said, it was right there on the bottom of the tray. You see, when we get in a crowd, we begin stressed and pressured because we feel everybody fighting against us. Oh, she looked at me. She said, I can't find my license. I said, well, I saw a security guard. That's what they're there for. She turned around and there it laid. I looked at that and I said, Lord, are you trying to teach me to have patience? You see, patience is part of our privileges. Waiting on God. We need a move now. You know what a miracle is? Something that happens now. But a blessing is something you got to wait for. Healing, you got to wait for. A miracle is when you need it right then and there, and God knows it. He knows everything. But he's wanting to see how far your faith is going to reach to touch the hem of his garment. Oh, when I can see her get through that first little area of crowd and then keep pushing her back. God ain't got nothing to do with you. Oh, you know, when I see a sinner come to the altar, I dare somebody to say something to him. Why'd you go to that altar for? Oh, because they're seeking after God. Oh, I want to be the first one to run up to them and say, oh, let me introduce you to God. Let me help you get to where you're trying to get to. Oh, because I want them to live above their privileges. You know, we was born and shaped in iniquity, destined for hell. That was our destination. But there was somebody that said, I don't want my children going to hell. That I want them living above their privileges. I want them to live like a king, like a queen. I want them to have what I have for them. You know, I'm a gun collector. My wife would tell you, I've got guns. And I dare somebody touch my guns. I've got guns at home. But you see, God isn't a gun collector. He's not interested in your guns. God is a soul collector. He's collecting souls that belong to him. Cheers, sons and daughters of God. When he comes down and he says, I want you to be part of me. I want you to be my wife. You know that little church that my wife used to go to, her uncle's church. I got in front of everybody. And I said, now everybody knows why I'm here. See, everybody already knew what I wanted. But she didn't. She has suspicions. God already knows. There is no suspicion with God. But some of us are too busy. Well, I don't think God can really answer my prayers like I want him to. I don't think God can really move on my behalf. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For the thorns men do not gather fig trees, nor the bushel bush gather their grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? For soever cometh to me and heareth my saying and doth them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man that built a house and dig deep and lay the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the steam beat violently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. You see, that's a true believer. That's somebody that's living above their privileges, knowing their house is built upon a rock. Now let me show you the other type. But he that heareth and doth not, it's like a man without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the steam did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. You see, that's somebody that stopped believing, stopped living above their privileges, but went below their privileges. I want to build my house upon this rock. Not any old rock, but this rock. This is my rock. Amen. You know, I have a saying back at home. You can take anything you want out of my house. You can even take my guns, but don't touch my Bible. Amen. That's my Bible. That's what I preach out of. That's what I read out of. That's how I get closer to God, is by digging into His Word and living above my privileges. How many know that we shouldn't really be working? We shouldn't have the right to drive freely. We shouldn't have the right to walk out here freely. Oh, I'm not legalist and all that. But that's what God gave us the right. He gave us the right to breathe this air that He created. It wasn't our right. Well, Brother John, I'm an American. I have that right. We don't have no rights. We're just living on God's privileges. But some of us gotten too used to this earth. I think I'm going to live below my privileges. I don't want to live below my privileges. Let me read you something here as we stand this morning. He totally delivered every sin. He delivered the church. So there's no need for us to live underprivileged people. There's no need for us to live in a defeated state, because He defeated the devil and took all the principles and powers and sustain them under His feet. And they have no legal rights to rule over you. We are Christians filled with the Holy Ghost. We don't have the devil dictate to us. Christ delivered us. Total deliverance. Delivered us from evil. Delivered us from sin. Delivered us from habits. Delivered us from talking. Delivered us from taking. Delivered us from the background. Delivered us from all kinds of smutty things. He totally delivered us and put us into holy hands. A complete, total deliverance. But yet we're still living under our privileges. Why is that? Because some of us haven't reached that point where God said, here's my blank checks. Fill them out. Do what you want with them. If our brother and sister come, play music. Here it is. Go ahead. You know, I told the saints back at home. I said, if my dad handed me his blank checkbook, he wouldn't have money in the bank account. I said, if anybody handed me a blank check, I'd drain every dime they had. But you see, we can't drain God. God has no limit. God has no, well, you can only have this much. No, God says it's all yours. Anything you want, it's all yours. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before You this morning. Lord, I pray something was said to encourage Your children. Lord, I pray, Lord, that this morning, Father, for one here that's living under their privileges, Lord, that they would come, start living above their privileges. Father, if there's one here that wants to know You, Lord, that You would come and minister to their hearts. Lord, if there's one here, Lord, that just needs a touch from You, Father. Lord, I pray, Lord, that You would touch their hearts. Speak to them, Father. Lord, we're a needy people. Father, I'm amongst the needy. I need You, Lord. Father, I pray, Lord, that You would just come down. Minister to our hearts, Father. Lord, show us mercy once more. Lord, give us grace. Lord, we're undeserving, Father. But Lord, I ask, Lord, just one more time, Lord. Just one more time. Speak to our hearts, Father. Lord, give us what You would have need of us. Father, I pray, Lord. Lord, that You would just minister to our hearts. We love You, Father. We thank You, Lord. With every head bowed and eyes before the Lord, if you want prayer, come. We'll pray with you. If you want to kneel at the altar's open. If you just want to raise your hands and say, Brother John, remember me. Just raise your hands and say, John, I need remembrance. I need the Lord, John. I need God to help me. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, hands all over the building. Father, mine included. Lord, they come saying, Lord, that they need a blessing. Lord, they're filling out that blank check that you handed them. Lord, they're signing it. Lord, they're filling it out for whatever they need, Father. Lord, I ask that right now, God, you would come down. Lord, you would minister to that need. You would minister to that heart that's crying out, Abba, Father, I need help. Father, I pray right now, God, Lord, that you would come down and you would help the needy. Lord, those that feel like they're all alone, Lord, you would walk with them. You'd grab a hold of their hand and tell them you're not alone. But Lord, you would show them right where they stand with you. You would show them that there's a homecoming and you're calling them home.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Father, I pray right now, Lord. Lord, that you would just minister, Father. Lord, move in a mighty way. We love you for it, Father. Lord, help us to stop living below our privileges. Help us to stop being underprivileged Christians, but taking your word and marching with it. We thank you, Lord. We love you, Father. What's the name of that brother? What? Learning to lean. Learning to lean. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. Brother John, if you'd come. Finding more power than I've ever.